have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host, KBKM.
Had a dream that she could do it, somehow she lost her way and didn't stick to it. She wanted the house, the cars, the money. She did all that she could. In her mind she was so focused, doing overtime in the diner. Just wanted someone to wine and dine her. She didn't believe in herself.
Believe in yourself. You can do it. Believe in yourself.
Ain't nothing to yourself. Believe in yourself. Even if nobody does.
Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself. Even if nobody does. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. She was diagnosed with cancer, going to the doctor for some answers. They said she wouldn't make it, she couldn't take it. She did all that she could, getting sick from the chemo. Bank account started looking real low. She knew she could make it, she wouldn't take it. She believed in herself.
Believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself, even if nobody does.
Believe in yourself, believe in yourself,
believe in yourself, even if nobody does. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can.
Yeah,
you can. Let nobody tell you that you can when you can.
Ooh. You can make it. Yes, you can. You can make it.
Nobody tell you that you can't when you can.
Uh-oh.
Let nobody tell you that you can when you can.
Uh-oh.
Let nobody tell you that you can't when you can.
Uh-oh.
Let nobody tell you that you can when you can.
Uh-oh.
Let nobody tell you that you can't when you can.
Uh-oh.
Let nobody tell you that you can when you can.
Oh,
don't let nobody tell you that you can't when you can.
Oh,
don't let nobody tell you that you can when you can.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Green. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. We have an awesome show lined up for you tonight as the Bishop tackles kingdom issues and current events. But first, let's receive First Lady Sharon Richard with her faithful financial moments. Good evening, First Lady.
Good evening, Jerry. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. One of the best ways to evaluate the strength of your financial position is by calculating your net worth. The definition of net worth is simply total assets minus total liabilities. We often talk about items which comprise building total assets such as purchasing a home, increasing savings, and investing in a 401k. And of course, we all have awareness of our liabilities and know that it is best to minimize our debts. Net worth pulls both of these areas together to provide you with one number which is an indication of your financial health. The higher your net worth, the stronger your overall financial position. To calculate your net worth, you must first make a complete list of all of your assets that can be sold for value. Include your house, your car, checking and savings accounts, investments, jewelry, and cash value on insurance policies. In order to gain a good estimate of the value of your house, you may want to go online to the Zillow website. For your car value, refer to the Kelley Blue Book website. Once you have them all listed with the estimated value, you must add them up to get your total assets. Next, you must total all of your debts, mortgages, credit cards, car notes, student loans, and any other debts must be included on this list. Once you have added your assets and your debts, you simply must subtract your total debts from your total assets. The net number will be your current net worth. This is a good starting point to establish goals for your net worth for the future. No matter what your net worth the first time that you calculate it, you have an opportunity to increase your net worth, which would strengthen your overall financial position. You should continue to work on improving your net worth each year. As you seek to improve your net worth, focus on spending your money on items that will keep increasing your value of total assets while reducing overall debt. You should increase assets purchased that either maintain value, increase value, or increase in value and provide income as well, such as investment property. Minimize buying things that are going to simply take cash from your pocket. When you buy clothes, food, electronics, decorations, cars, entertainment, you are generally using cash for something that is going to go down in value and therefore is going to decrease your net worth. But if you spend your money on buying property or funding a Roth IRA or contributing to your 401k, building an emergency fund, buying mutual funds or dividend-paying stocks, you would have a much better chance that it would be worth at least what you paid, and it would be more than likely be worth more than you paid for it. Of course, we all must spend money on items with declining or no value, but our goal should be to ensure that we focus as much as possible on spending which improves our net worth. Calculate your net worth and begin making financial decisions which will help you to increase the strength of your financial position. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by Open Mic with the Bishop with your host, Bishop Ernest D. Richard, Jr.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor, and here is this week's Gospel News. Gospel singer and songwriter Damon Little began his singing ministry at the age of 5. He and his brothers formed a family group. His first studio recording was with his uncle, the great Clarence Fountain of the Five Blind Boys of Alabama. Born in Baltimore, Maryland, Damon Little spent a portion of his childhood years in Pensacola, Florida. Damon Little's music ministry has taken him to Mexico, Jamaica, Dominican Republic, the Bahamas, the Cayman Islands, and many other places, as well as him being featured on TV1, BET, TVN, and The Word Network. Damon Little signed with Houston, Texas label Worldwide Gospel in 2000 and began producing a string of gospel chart hits, including the title track from his album, You Can't Straddle the Fence, Long As I Got Shoes, and Do Right, How You Gonna Do Right with a Do Wrong Mind. Patrick Dwayne Dobson, born August 24, 1978. He began his singing career in 2012 with the release of the song Open the Heavens. This album was his Billboard release. The song Keep Me was placed on the Wild Gospel 2013 project. Open Heavens, released on May 1st. This was his breakthrough release on the Gospel Albums charts at number 23, the Heat Seeker Albums at number 46, and the song Keep Me it also placed at number 7 on the Hot Gospel Songs charts. In July of 2019, he became the Associate Pastor of the Worship of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship Church in Dallas, Texas, under Pastor and Founder Tony Evans. Is it true that your race plays a role in your health challenges, that you could possibly be prone to certain illnesses and you're likely to die from them? Well, cultural, economic, and social factors can also influence health and health outcomes. For African Americans, the good news is that we're living longer as a group. During the first 15 years of the century, the death rate among African Americans declined by 25%. Here's a look at the top 8 health concerns for African Americans. Number 8, asthma is more prevalent among Black adults and children. African Americans with asthma are more likely to visit the emergency room and be admitted to the hospital. Number 7, chronic liver disease. 6, cancer. Number 5, stroke is another condition that intertwines with heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, and obesity. Number 4, diabetes. Did you know that diabetes is 60% more common among African Americans compared to other groups? We are also more likely to have serious complications from it, including end-stage kidney disease and limb amputations. Number 3, obesity. In the United States, African Americans have the highest rate of being overweight or obese. Among Black adults, 63% of men and 77% of women are either overweight or obese. This extra weight contributes to the risk factors of high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and diabetes. And all these conditions increase the likelihood of heart disease. Number 2, high blood pressure. High blood pressure is a risk factor for heart disease. High blood pressure tends to develop earlier, be more severe, and is less likely to be controlled in African Americans. Number 1 is heart disease. It remains the number 1 killer of all Americans, so it's not surprising that it's the leading cause of death in African Americans. However, African Americans are 20% more likely to die from heart disease compared to other groups. Knowing your risk of these conditions can help you to make positive changes to take control of your health. Here's this week's Top 10 Gospel Song. Number 10, Jordan Armstrong, You. 9, In Him There Is No Sorrow, Donald Lawrence and Company. 8, Only One Night Though, Ty Tribbett. 7, I See Good, Moret Brown Clark. 6, Damon Little, No Stressin'. 5, Jonathan McReynolds, Abel. 4, Reminder, J.J. Harrison. 3, Live Again, Kalante Gavin. 2, Trusting God, James Fortune featuring Monica. And our new number one song comes from Bree Barbineau with I Will Wait. Well, that's your top 10 songs and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor, reminding you to connect with me on all social media outlets. You can do that just by going to my website at msninataylor.com. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
And good evening to you. I'm not taking over. I'm just showing up to support. So let me put it back in the hands of the one who's actually in charge at this moment. Where are you, Elder Brown? Step up to the plate. Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
It all belongs to you. I'm just here. I'm a spectator today.
All right. Well, you spectator. Thank you, Bishop. Good evening, good evening. I'd like to thank everybody for coming out. I know that Overseer Henderson is going to be here, Evangelist Tate and Overseer McPherson. And what we're going to do for our topic of discussion this evening, we're going to talk about now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Overseer Henderson if she can look up Hebrews 11:1 for us, and I'll pray us in, and then we will take it from there. Father God, we just thank you for who you are, oh God, the head of our lives, oh God. We reverence you, oh God. We celebrate you, oh God. Thank you, Lord. And we thank you for this gathering on tonight, oh God. We thank you. We want you to get all the glory out of this, oh God. We thank you for the conversations that will take place, oh God. We thank you for the word that will come forth, oh God, and that the prayers that will come forth also out of this meeting today, Lord. And Lord, we surrender everything unto you. We want you to get all the glory and all the honor because you are truly, truly worthy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Our scripture reading will be found in Hebrews 11, chapter, verse 1. And it reads as such, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Amen. And if we take a moment and think about faith and the different areas that we learn faith, so to speak, because I don't believe all of us were born with, you know, faith on our mind, so to speak. We've learned it and we've adapted to it through our church experiences and also through life experiences. Faith is something to me that becomes close to your heart. It has to be something where you understand that we may not see the end, we may not see the results, but we have to have faith in our Lord and Savior and how he has given us the ability to understand situations, pray about situations, have the enduring power to go through situations. So I want us to really take the time for each one of us to tell the other one, what do you really feel your faith has become over the years, and how has it become developed? Has it been through life experiences? Has it been through studying? Has it been through, you know, you really communing with God? Share with me how your faith has been built. Overseer Henderson, you want to go first? I'll pick you first.
Amen, amen, amen. We say good evening to each one of you on tonight. Amen. Well, my faith is built through experiences and through the Word of God. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so the more that I read the Word of God, my faith is built. As I read the Word of God and the Lord reveals his Word to me, it encourages me, amen, to live by that Word, which causes my faith to grow. So my trust and my confidence in him, as well as my experiences, because as we go through life experiences, it grows your faith. You know, a lot of times we don't like talking about suffering or challenges as a part of the spiritual journey that grows us. But it's in those challenging times that we grow into our faith. It's like growing up, you know, from being a little one into a young adult, and how the clothes that you used to wear when you were younger no longer fit you. Well, as you continue on this journey with the Lord, you grow out of those little baby's clothes because now you have a better understanding of God. You have a better understanding of your relationship in him, and it causes you to trust him at another level. And I think this is just a day-by-day process and a day-by-day journey, because every day that we trust him and every day we depend upon him, it takes our faith to another place in him. And so that's the beauty of the relationship, that it's a relationship that's ever growing, ever changing, and ever transforming us into something different. And that's what it's all about, is being different from the world and being who Christ created us to be. And we do that by growing in our relationship with him.
Excellent. I like the analogy about the baby clothes, because surely if I tried to stuff this 5'5" body in a, you know, 6-month-old onesie, it would not work today. So it's also a witness to the fact that, you know, as we're going through life experiences and realizing that God is in control, that we have the ability and also the desire to build our faith. Because as you, you know, look around the community, especially if you're in a church setting, you can see the evidence of faith. You can see where people, you know, maybe getting married or may, you know, becoming entrepreneurs and things of that nature. and understand that those are also seeds of faith and journeys of faith. And our faith really is a journey, because at interval in life, an intersection, there are, you know, hiccups, unfortunately. There are times where, you know, your faith may not be what it was, you know, years ago. You could think, oh, you know, I got this, God's going to make a way. But if there are situations that come, negative situations possibly that come into your life, you know, it may shake your faith. You may have to go back and rebuild. And as you said, take the word, hear the word, and make sure you know where your faith is and that our faith is in God. We don't have faith in man because, you know, man can not only twist and turn you, but man can also disappoint you. And we have to understand that taking a faith walk is just that. It's a walk of faith. It may be, you know, I could go a mile today with faith, and maybe tomorrow I can only go a couple of feet. But realizing that as I build my faith and continue to understand that faith is the evidence of God's promises coming to fruition, coming to true, coming to our, you know, situation and building up, that's the time when we can say, you know what, I've got a building block here. And as with any foundation, each block has to be strategically placed, meaning we have to take the time and look at our faith and examine it and also realize that it's a building that has to be, or it's a, I mean, faith is a type of substance that you have to continually build and tweak and add to it. And I think that's important too, because as life situations come along, you know, if you don't have enough faith, so to speak, in your breast pocket or in your bosom pocket, then that's where we tend to become negative, or we tend to feel like, you know, oh, woe is me, it's not going to happen. But we also have to understand that the word says the race is not given to the swift nor to the strong, but to the one who endures or who has faith until the end. You want to comment on that, Evangelist Tate? Good evening.
You know what? I'm not sure if she made it on with us.
Okay. Well, then you comment. Thank you.
Amen. Repeat the question again. I'm sorry.
How do you feel your faith is changing and developing? How do you develop your faith after each situation that you've gone through? Do you do like a self-inventory? Do you sit down and have a meditative moment with the Lord? How do you build your faith?
I'd like to get in on that, if I may, after she answers.
Amen. And I do believe Overseer McPherson, I believe, is on as well, if I'm not mistaken, too. Let's see. I would say that it's a combination of both. I think it's a combination of both. There are times when we go through things when we sit back and we're like, okay, what did I gain from this? What was this experience all about, you know? And then there are other times when it just happens and you realize, okay, this is God moving in my life with purpose. This is doing something in me. Even though I may not understand what it is right now, I know later it's going to make sense. And so because the scripture says all things work together, Romans 8:28, for the good to them that love the Lord, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And even though sometimes we may not always understand it, but because we know we're in purpose, we know that later it's going to mean something. It's going to have some value. And so I set it aside and say, I may not understand it now, Lord, but I trust you that in this there's more to be gained that I can see and understand right now. And then there are other times when you go through things and you be like, okay, this was God definitely changing me. This was God definitely moving me to another place where I can see it took my faith to come to this level. It took me to come out of myself, amen, to believe God in this situation. And it's very evident that the faith, my faith had moved from one place to another. For example, one time I was thinking, like, I said, Lord, when did I change? You know, a lot of times we're looking for you to change, or you're looking for something to be different. And then one day you just realize, I'm not in that same old place. And by faith, it happened. But he brought me to the understanding that it happened as I continued to move forward in him. And so, you know, that's when you take those inventories and sit back and says, wow, I'm going to keep moving forward. Because even when I don't see anything or sometimes when I don't understand anything, God is changing me. God is moving me forward in my faith in him. So it's those times when we just have a combination of those things where you take inventory and then sometimes you wait until you get there and you realize, hey, I'm in another place in my faith. I'm in another place in my journey with God. And it makes it so beautiful to see the growth and to see the change in him.
Amen. Beautiful. And, you know, the part that's funny, too, you find yourself when you respond differently to situations, that's also a maturity in your faith because, you know, sometimes you may panic or stress and you may, you know, call so-and-so or you may, you know, turn your plate over and fast and pray and realize that, you know what, this response was not the same as last time. So when we're being developed and being proven, so to speak, via the Lord in life situations, that's one of the things I found was kind of funny, too. You stand there like, well, wait a minute. You know, had this been, you know, last year, I probably would have been yelling and screaming, you know, why me, why me? But then, like you said, there are other assurances and ways where the Lord will bring things to you and your faith is being tested and tried, but you have that more firm foundation where you can say, you know, I'm seeing this. Don't understand it. Don't like it, but I can take it to the Lord and have a conversation. You know what, God? Well, then where am I supposed to go? What else should I do? Did I really lose my faith? Am I not paying attention? And you want to make sure that you're checking yourself, number one, but also realizing that there is an assurance, a guarantee, that the Lord said in this word that these things shall come to pass. He's given us a stamp of approval because he says you have to have faith. You have to believe. That's the battle. Believing is the battle. And no matter what it looks like, sounds like, it's like, tastes like, having faith is the integral part that allows us to keep going as Christians and as believers. Looking at the host of witnesses in the word where the Lord made a way, even though it seemed like it was, you know, in our eyes last minute, but we thank God that our timing is not God's timing. And when we have that faith understanding that we can rest in the conviction that the unseen promises of our God are going to come to fruition, it's holding on, realizing that our faith is continually built up. And if we don't have it, then, you know, seek out someone who does. Go to the Bible. Find a promise and follow it and see where the Lord made a way. And realizing that the Lord has no respect to person. Just like he did it for all those people in the Bible, he will do it for each and every one of us. There's an assurance, which means you can take it to the bank. Bishop, you want to comment?
I was checking to see if Overseer McPherson was there first.
I'm here.
Well, let us get her first. I'll come in behind her because, you know, last time she made me feel bad. She said, I had to come behind him.
Grace and peace, everyone. Amen. Grace and peace. Thanking the Lord for being on the line tonight. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. There was a time in my life that I didn't know how to express that, but my one of the overseers that was in the church, and she always said, sometimes you got to say it from your lips because the Bible said it. I said it from my lips, and eventually it went into my heart. And once it goes into your heart, you begin to express it. You begin to learn it. Amen. And so faith is an action word. You got to believe, but you also got to put it in action. Hallelujah. I remember James Cleveland and Doug telling on a little bit, but he would always say, if you didn't have no food, set your table. Go set your table. Get your fork. Get your plate. And sit there. Hallelujah, glory to God. And he had faith enough to believe that somebody was going to bring something in to fill the plate. And that's how we have to do it. We have to believe it so until it comes to action. It comes to vision. Glory to God. And also a child, I was a child that was not with my parents, my biological parents. So it was a lot of pressure on me. It was a lot to do on me. But I got a testament. Those were testaments that they used to give out in school. And I would read it. Why? Because I was hoping for a day that I came out of that situation. I was hoping for a day when I came to be somewhere where people loved me and cared about me. So those are the things that I held on to, and eventually it came about. So not only are we saying it, but we got to believe it. Even like we weren't there when the crucifixion, when he went through all of that, but we believe it because it's, the Bible says it, and God has made us feel it in our hearts. So there are many things that we accept because the Bible says it. And then after a while, you got to just let it resonate until you can, believe it, believe that it happened. But salvation, once you get it, it's like a light that comes on and you run with it. Because I couldn't see how he was on the cross talking to himself. Glory to God. I couldn't see that. You couldn't tell me that. What you mean about that? You see what I'm saying? But as Pastor Henderson said, as you grow in the Lord, as you read his word, as you come into the knowledge of his word, as you look back on all the old patriarchs that came before us and began to, going through different times and things like that, you began to, if God did it for them, he could do it for me. Yeah. Who would have thought that a boy with a slingshot could knock down somebody that big? By faith, hallelujah, I received it, hallelujah, let me know that there is no giant in my life that's too hard for God to knock down, glory to God. It wasn't him, it was the power of God, glory to God, amen. So I thank God for that. Faith is the substance, and what I always use is like when you have collard greens, and all the greens, the big parts are gone, but even in the juice, when you get the juice of it, you can take a piece of cornbread and put it in there, and you still got the substance.
It still tastes like
the greens. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So I thank God for the subject tonight. Amen. I'm done right now. Thank you,
Elder Brown. That was my mistake. I went behind this troublemaker. Had to say collard greens and the juice. Had to put it out there. Lord have mercy. Hey, I'm down south too. I need to find some relatives that got some greens now. Anyway, no, that was good. That was good. I'm going to use that. I'll give you credit the first time, and after that, it belongs to me. Okay, I'm just letting you know up front. That was good. But that is the essence of faith, though. I mean, listening to you, and I'm excited to be here. First of all, y'all say, "Well, sure." No, it's not my show. It's our show. So I'm excited to be here on our show. So we're going to move forward. But, it was already been established that faith is not just believing in something unseen. We have to recognize how powerful faith really is. Faith has the ability to move mountains. It has the ability to change lives. And we have to remind ourselves that faith is basically the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we cannot see. It's our foundation in our relationship with God. It was faith that brought us to a saving relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. God is always guiding us through the storms of life and leading us to a place of peace. I like what David said in Psalms 23. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You're not going to lie down in green pastures if you do not have the faith that you are in safety. You're not going to go try to drink from still waters if you don't have the faith to believe that God is leading, guiding, guarding, and governing and watching over you. When we have faith, listen to this, we can overcome any obstacle. I don't care what it is, because we know God is on our side. God has given us all kinds of confidence in the fact that he is. I like what he said in Isaiah 43 on one occasion. I'm not trying to throw too many scripture in there, but y'all started it. Just keep that in mind. Started it. So I'm just going to jump in and throw my punches and get back in my corner. But he says, when thou passest through the fire, it will not burn you. And I like this where it says, when you walk. It did not say when you run through the fire. Nope. It says when you walk through the fire? Who here physically is going to make any attempt to walk through fire? The person of faith. I didn't talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and that bad Negro. I'm just talking about us and our daily living, what we trust God for. We walk through the fire. When water, if the floods come, they cannot and will not drown us. Why? Because we have that confidence in God. We demonstrate unwavering faith in what God does. There are so many individuals in this 11th chapter of Hebrews, and I'm not going to try to get into it because I don't know where today's show host wants to go. I'm going to try to stay in my lane there, but you made mention of a little boy with a slingshot and five smooth stones, how he slays a giant. Let us not forget how God took a man and sat him down on a stone, and two men held his hands up. Every time Moses' hands stayed up, the children of Israel would win the war. And then when his hands started dropping, they started losing. God told Aaron and Hur, hold his hands up. And then let's not forget the very fact that when Joshua took the troops into battle, the day lasted for 48 hours until the battle was completed. That was one of the few days in the history of mankind where 2 days ran together. You know where you see that at nowadays? You see that up in Alaska. During their winter season, they have a time when the sun does not set. I want to go there one day and see that. But anyway, I don't know how I could live there. I know it's 11 o'clock at night, supposed to be 11 o'clock at night, and it's looking like 11 o'clock in the morning. My point is simply this. We're not just believing in God's promises, but we're trusting in God's timing. And we may not always understand why things happen the way they do, but because we have faith in God and know that God has a plan for us, you already said it, Pastor Henderson, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. The main thing I'm going to leave here on this nugget, and now I'm going to go sit down in my corner and get fed some more. Man, that was some good meat, man. I say sometimes, and I said to my son just the other day, we're going to take the bone off the meat off the bone off the meat this time. We ain't taking the meat off the bone. We taking the bone off the meat this time. I rest.
All right. Amen. Prolific in your word, I tell you. Thank you. Now, my next question is, how can you take the time and really minister to your faith, but where can you get the conviction of your faith from? Does it come from the word? Does it come from life experiences? Does it come from your level of trust in the Lord? Where does your conviction come from?
Yes.
Who wants to chime in?
Yes. That's all I'm going to say is yes. Everything you just mentioned, yes. For me. That's for me. Yes.
Yes.
The study,
I think it's all of them. But just like you said, that's the yes. The conviction through that word. Because the word, when it gets in your heart, it deals with your mind. It deals with your heart. It deals with your life. And the more we take in that word, the more the conviction of the word becomes real, and the revelation of the word brings an understanding of who we are and who God is and our responsibility in him. I mean, the word is just a teacher. The scripture says that the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. It really is our navigator through this dark world. And I think the more we stay in that word, it illuminates. The word is alive and it speaks to our heart. It speaks to us. And what that when it begins to speak, because faith has a voice. And the more you read the word, you know, your faith begins to take that word on. And as I heard someone say earlier, that you look and you say, Lord, if you did it for Daniel and the lion said, Lord, you'll do it for me. If you did it for David, Lord, you'll do it for me. And so the voice of first faith begins to build that conviction in you and that confidence that God is not a respecter of a person. So you begin to take that word on the inside, and it stirs you up. And it gives you that hope and expectation, looking for God to do something in your life. And in all that process of time, your faith is building because you're growing and you're saying, Lord, I'm depending on you. I'm trusting you. I'm waiting on you. I believe your word. And you know, and as you are doing that in this journey with him,
you know, faith is constantly navigating you. Faith is constantly building that conviction, building that strength, building that confidence, building that relationship. And at the same time, it's transforming your mind. It's transforming your heart. And then you realize, wow, you know, I believe this thing. I believe the word. You know, I believe it. And the more you stick in it, the more your faith gets, it grows. You know, your faith grows through those experiences. And so it's a combination of what you said. And I believe that word, you know, the interest of the word, it brings wisdom and it brings that conviction that causes you to just hold on and keep going with the word. I mean, just keep letting the word navigate you. Just, you know, because see, faith is the substance of things not seen. So you don't always see things. And the Bible says you wouldn't have need to have faith if you could see it. And sometimes we're looking to see everything. But we got to just walk this thing out and say, Lord, I don't see it, but I believe it. I believe it, you know. And the more you stay in that word and walk like that, then it starts to show up. The Bible says, as they went, they were healed. And as we just keep moving forward and just keep going with God, then things start to show up as we keep going in Him and going and growing in Him. So it's a wonderful experience. It just really is. And it's not something you do with your mind. It's a spiritual walk, you know. It's a spiritual walk, and that's why I think it's so important. He said, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways to acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. And there's a walk in God that supersedes our natural understanding. And I think when we get in that vein, then it opens up another pathway to just to walk in God. Don't worry about if you see it, feel it, taste it, as you always say, Elder Brown. You just keep moving because you know that God is navigating you in it and through it.
Amen.
If you want a copy of Pastor Henderson's book, you can go to Amazon.com. What is faith? No, I'm joking. Go ahead.
Amen. And also, we use a lot of times the ones that I've seen faith work in my leaders and things that they have uphold, you know, held up to God and saw God work it out. You know what I'm saying? And that encourages you to move forward. Like my former overseer, she wanted an A-frame roof, and the member said, no, we want a flat roof. And we had enough for the flat roof, but we didn't have enough for an A-frame roof. So naturally everybody said flat roof. But she said, no, I want an A-frame roof. And so she held to that. She held to the A-frame roof. We got the A-frame roof. Glory to God. But it was through her holding on, through her wanting and desiring it. Because why? She knew the purpose of an A-frame roof. An A-frame roof, you wouldn't have to worry about the water sitting up on it. But a flat roof, you would have to worry about the water, and eventually you would need a new roof. Glory to God. So stuff like that, I've seen her, you know, I would see her pray for and things like that, and God just worked it out. So, and then that increases your faith as when you see somebody else walking in faith. So a lot of times, like I said, it's not there all the time, but as you go in and then you begin to say, God, well, if you did it for them, if you did it for her, if you did it for them, glory to God, then do it for me. Let me see something. It's all right to ask God to let you see something. See it worked out. Mm-hmm. Amen. And I've seen that. Yes. I've seen it. And I just thank God for it. Amen.
Yeah. I think it's important that when we're going to get like that we're intellect, your spirituality, your spirit man has a different take on things than your intellectual man. And being able to understand that faith is, as we said, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, but it's also, faith is also the knowledge of God, knowing who God is, that we belong to Him, and knowing the results that He's given all of those in the Bible, but also, as Overseer McPherson said, for one of her leaders, some of those examples, you have to be able to treasure those examples
and draw back on them, just like you did now. And as you're sharing it with us, that becomes a faith-building block for us, because now we understand that someone else's faith was an action. And even when we talk about our grandnephew, Tyquell, to see you, Overseer McPherson, not only holding up your daughter and her husband and the baby, but also standing on your faith. You didn't see him coming off of those fires. You didn't see him gain weight. Still stood and believed God. There he is now. And look at the people around
you.
Yeah. Yeah. Build their faith through your experience in praying for your grandson. I mean, it's amazing. And even now, coming around the situation, whereas when we were in it before, you know, it was heart-wrenching. Because here you see this little baby, he's five, and, you know, and the enemy's like, you know what, this and this is going to happen. But I thank God for your steadfast. Because as you were standing, we were still praying to God, and God brought him through.
Amen.
You know, and according to John 3, I think it's 3:10 or something like that, the knowledge of God is also important in our faith.
Oh, wait a minute. It's my turn? Oh, shoot. They're going to let me talk. But, I mean, this really, this is good stuff. Y'all know I laugh and joke and play, but really, when you look at the essence of faith in and of itself, you have to have such a confidence in God himself to the place and point that no matter what comes your way, won't be shaken, you won't be stirred. And you use a great example with our grandnephew, Tyquell, in his own world fighting for his life, but he has an outside source praying him through. Even if mama and daddy didn't have the faith to believe, he had a grandmother that had the faith to believe. And see, we got to go back. You mentioned Overseer McPherson about our leaders. You know, we had a strong leader in the late Dr. Maddie Atkinson Darden. When our church moved, we were in a community center. And we were in there for, what, 5 years, Elder Brown? 5 years, 6 years, something like that? And she had a vision. Now, let me show you what the vision. Hostess, which is, you know, the bread company, had a factory in the city of New Haven. And Hostess decided to move south into, I think, Georgia or South Carolina or something like that. This great big old building then became what's called, now follow me on this. This is how God sets stuff up. I like how God does stuff. This is where they became, after that, this key word right there, bakery, making stuff. It next became an ambulatory center where all the ambulances in that district would come there. That's where the ambulances gathered at. That was headquarters. Okay? So God had something, a building that housed a place where people made things, and God had something where a place where they, you know, went out on emergencies. The next thing that thing became and still is today is the Church of the Living God on 90-100 Gulf Street, known as Agape Kingdom Cathedral. It was known as Agape Christian Center back then. But the late Maddie Atkinson Darden had the ability to see ahead of time. And she would not let you talk her down. She would not let you boo her down. She shared what God showed her. And she said, you ain't got to believe it. I believe it. That's enough. And we like that, and a leader of that caliber, we got in line, and we all learned how to walk by faith. There were several families that literally put their houses on the block, could have lost their homes if that deal had fallen through, could have lost their homes, but because, but God, that's all I'm going to say on that, but God. That that building is now paid for in full. At the time, that building was $630,000 or $40,000. You know, over $500,000. Over $500,000, okay? It's paid for. It's paid for.
All right,
but see,
all
that's
right.
What faith will cause you. And see, I would encourage anybody listening to us today, anybody that's out there, any pastor, any leader that's talking about going to get, you know, whether it's a church building or start, you know, pull together a congregation to build a place of worship, plant the seed. All it takes is mustard seed faith, and great faith that you have a God who's willing to go and do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. God is able. See, sometimes we want to do stuff, but we want to do it so we can stick our little bird chest up. Pull your little bird chest in. You can't do nothing unless God lets you.
That's right. You can't do anything unless God lets you.
Just pull your little bird chest in. Trust the living God for whatever it is that you have need of, and believe with beyond a shadow of a doubt. Somebody said it earlier. Go set the dinner table. I remember James Cleveland did used to say that. He would say, set the dinner table. Put your knives and forks down. Put your napkin on and wait on God. When you turn around and approach anything that you're doing with God in the mix. Now, I got to take you to another scripture, and I'm sorry, you know, ladies, y'all got to excuse yours truly. There is, I think it's in the 16th chapter of Proverbs, it says, and I'm going to paraphrase it, when a man's plans include God, they are now, therefore, established. And you got to remember that part. When God is in your plan, your plans now become established. And they will come. They will come to fruition. They will manifest. They will bring themselves into the point and place. If God is in the picture, if God is in the center of all you're doing, you know, you only have to have enough faith to believe. And see, it also tells us in the book of Romans in chapter 12, I believe it's verse 3, that to every man is given the measure of faith. The measure of faith. How do you sit down? Some of you are sitting on the side of your bed right now. Some of you are sitting in a chair right now. Some of you might be driving the car. Do you think that stuff just happened just because you just decided you wanted it to happen? It took a level of faith for you to get in and have confidence to know that that chair you're sitting in, that couch you're sitting on, that car you're driving, and in my case, the truck you're driving, was going to operate to perfection. It took faith for that. And it takes that little faith to see God move mountains in your life. It's that simple. I know. It sounds complicated, but it's simple. All right. I'm going to stop right there, Elder Brown, because you're going to cause me to start swinging for the fences in a minute.
You know what? Bishop, you know, I just can't with you sometimes. But I think it's important.
I love you, too, just in case you didn't know.
Whatever. It's imagery. But what about it? We're dealing with something that's an inanimate object. And I feel like people may think, you know, it's instant microwave stuff. Yes, that may happen because there are miracles. There are things that happen and where God can change things instantly. But then there are also some things that take not only a leap of faith, but they take a, how do you say, a legacy of faith. Let's put it that way, where we have to keep reminding ourselves that God is in control. Finding and seeking God's faith and bringing his word back to him, even maybe praying the word back to him, because as we do that, that not only fortifies the intellect, it fortifies the spiritual man, and the spiritual man can maintain his faith level and maintain strength. So it's also a part of prayer, it's a part of being present, understanding that in God's presence we receive the fullness of joy, but also we receive education, correction, direction. It also takes patience. We don't pray for patience without asking for trouble, but we learn patience through each faith experience. Would you like to comment on that, Henderson?
Yes, I totally agree. I totally agree. I wanted to back up just a little bit about when you talked about setting that table, because we had a person who actually gave that testimony in our church that she was in a situation and she set the table. And God gave her a miracle because, you know, it was in her younger years. When she was younger, she was raising her children, and she had to trust the Lord. And I mean, just miracle after miracle, she had told different testimonies about what God had did when she put her faith to action. And then she told another thing that she had went around her yard, and she wanted to move. And by the time she went around and, you know, declared her moving, boom, I mean, the move took place instantly. And I just want to encourage anyone that may be listening that our trust in God also accompanies our action. So when we do that, that put that action to our trust, is like saying, God, it's already done. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to set the table, and I'm going to believe you, Lord. And it's like those combination works miracles, because oftentimes
We have trust in God, but we don't always have the demonstration of our faith to do the works. And the Bible says faith without works is dead. But when we begin to add the faith and the demonstration of our faith, I believe it births miracles. I believe it births miracles. And it can be something as simple as giving in a situation where you are saying, Lord, I'm giving in this direction, and I'm believing you, Lord, that you're going to move in my behalf. Your giving becomes your act of faith. You know, I remember there was one time when I was younger, and they said, all those who want a summer job, you know, get in the line. And we had already given our offering and tithes and things like that. But the Lord led the minister to say, if you want a summer job, and I was home for the summer from college, and he said, if you want a summer job, whatever you have, I want you to get in the line, and I just want you to give whatever you have. And I remember saying, Lord, I just gave all my offering, but I knew I had something in that person. I wanted every bit of it to come out. I got the change, I got the dollar, I got whatever I had, and I put it in the offering. And literally the next day, I had applied for a job. They called me the next day. It was my action. I believe my faith and my trust, but I gave it, you know, and it wasn't the amount, but it was my action, because I believed the Lord that if I obeyed the word and I obeyed in my giving, that God was going to do it. And literally the next day, as a matter of fact, when I went in for the call, they just said, you just stay in work. You can start today. So I never even went back home. I just stayed, and that was my first day, my interview, and my job all at the same time. Started my first job for the summer. So God is awesome. And I just want to encourage each one of us, just never doubt. Don't ever doubt, should I say. Don't ever doubt. Don't ever doubt, no matter how long it looks like it may be taking, just know that God honors our faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please him. He gets pleasure when he sees us believing and trusting him. So even though the world may look at it and say, oh, that's stupid, don't do that. Well, you know, you're going to the car yard and you're walking around this car, you know, No. Do whatever God is leading you to do as your performance of your demonstration of your faith, and God will honor it. And so I just thank God for this discussion tonight. I believe that God is up to something, that God is stirring our faith to believe him, amen, and just to wait on him, because he's faithful. He is faithful. He's not holding anything back. And I just want to encourage any listener tonight is just to keep believing God. If you're trusting him, don't throw away your confidence, because it does have a great recompense of reward. If you hold on and don't give up and keep faith in God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Amen. I only have a couple minutes left. I want to make one last comment. I want Bishop to give the invitation to salvation. You know, there's so much that we can learn through life experiences and through our faith-building, you know, activities and incidents, I should say. But there are also different levels of faith. I want us to hold on to this, and maybe we'll come back to it next week or maybe another time. But there are opinions, there are beliefs, and then there's conviction. And I thank God that we've been able to be delivered from public opinion, be delivered from community opinion, just like Henderson said years ago when I was going through as far as bars and whatnot. See, like every car I got, it had something else that was going on. It went kaplunk, kaplooey. So after a while, I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to believe God. I said, I wanted Jesus. I said, I'm praising God for this. Every time I saw Jesus, and my little buggy and whatnot, eventually, the Lord, I was like, you know, for a new, because that it comes in, everybody else is driving in cars, and oh, Lord, and you're going to, you know, get yours one day, but just hold on. And I had to remind myself that, you know what, number one, Rome wasn't built in a day. God is faithful. I was a tither and a giver. I knew that when my point in time came, that the Lord would see me through, and he surely did. I got favor with the dealership. I got all sorts of bells and whistles. And when I told the gentleman my testimony, he just stood there and kind of said to you, I don't believe. He said, you don't look like that kind of person. I said, what do you mean? He said, a faith-based person. I said, what do they look like? He said, well, I'm not sure, but, you know, you're different. I said, you know what? I said, I don't understand your comment. I said, but I'm going to take it to the Lord. I said, my thing was I wanted to do something faith-filled and full faith with my children, because my children were watching me. like, oh my, yeah, sure, this is really going to happen. And when it came to fruition, the kids were like, they were more excited than I was. So I thank God for his steadfastness. I thank God for his consistency, because as he ministers to me and my faith, it spilled over to my children. And so it's a great lesson when your children see God bringing things to fruition just for you, because God has no respect to person. When you know God and you're dealing with God and you're doing what you're supposed to do, tithing, your offering, seeking the Lord, meditating in his word, he's got to reward you, because it's his good pleasure to give his kids. Amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. Bishop Richard, you still there?
Yes, I am still here. I didn't know it was my turn again. Well, listen, you have been listening to Open Mic with the Bishop, your host for this time, Elder Lauren Brown, Pastor Anna Henderson, Overseer Mary McPherson, and Evangelist Tate. I want to just say something to you very quickly. Those of you who are listening, wherever you are, don't know who you are, where you are, what you're doing, but take a moment to stop. As we spoke about faith, we said now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There are some of you sitting out there, you might be contemplating suicide, you may be contemplating walking away from God, you may be thinking a myriad of possible negative things. Let me help you out with something. First and foremost, to those that don't know Jesus Christ and the pardoning of your sins, I want to give you the ABCs to salvation. A, all you have to do is acknowledge that you are a sinner and you are in need of a Savior. Jesus saves from the guttermost to the uttermost, and he's waiting for you to ask him to be the Lord of your life. Acknowledge that you're a sinner. Then B, believe that God sent his only begotten Son to die for you. Yes, for you. Yeah, forget everything you've done. Forget everything you've been through. Forget everything that you may have seen, everything you may have said. He came, suffered, bled, and died, and rose on the third day so that you would have an opportunity to be reunited with the God of your salvation, and he's waiting for you. The last thing you need to know is the letter C. Confess with your mouth because you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ came and died for you. After you've done all that, all you have left to do now is by faith believe and walk in the fullness of what God is about to provide for you. God did not leave you out, backslider. All you have to do is acknowledge your sin. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins by faith, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. To the individual that's on the fence, let me help you out with something. You can't straddle the fence. You can't live a life for God and a life for the devil. You've got to make a decision. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Faith works positive as well as negative. You want it to work positive in the fact that God can and will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. If it works in the negative, it's only because you turned around and you failed to believe. It takes mustard seed faith. And all you have to do is open your heart and say, dear God in heaven, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins. Therefore, I confess that Jesus Christ is now Lord of my life. All I can say to you from this point in time, if you've done that, welcome to the family of God. Yes. Now we need to get you to a church that's Bible-believing, tongue-toting, a church that believes in the biblical principles of salvation. All we need you to do now is find a local church with a pastor who's going to teach you how to live this life. If you've done that, backslider, if you've come back to the Lord, God gave you opportunity and chance. He didn't let anything happen to you. So here you are. You're back. Now, come on, let's move forward. Share your experience with those who have gone through what you who are going through what you are going through or have gone through. Build your faith. Find a community of believers that you can grow with. God has just got so much for you in this day and age. But last thing I'm going to say is simply this. For those of you who are listening to us today, you can always go back to our on-demand, whether you are on Spreaker Radio, whether you are on Intune. There are so many different ways you can hear us, and you're going to hear how you can bless this ministry if it's your heart's desire. Our sister Nina Taylor is going to come in a few minutes and share with you how you can be a blessing. I thank God for each and every one of you listening. I'm going to step back because I have turned this our show host is Elder Brown and Pastor Henderson, and I am not the disrespectful bishop that just because I got a title I can walk in when I feel like it. Order and protocol are always the order of the day. So in saying that, I step back and turn the mic back over to you, Elder Brown.
Amen. Beautiful. Thank you, Bishop. Please, 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 ma'am, please, sir. It is the best decision of my life. The benefits are, oh my gosh, just wonderful. Wonderful. Seek the Lord. Choose ye this day whom you shall serve. Henderson, will you pray us out?
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank God for this time tonight. Hallelujah, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We thank you for each one on this panel tonight, Father God. We thank you, God, for this platform, oh God, that somebody has heard something tonight, oh God, that's going to radically change their life, oh God. Father, we give you praise and glory. As we leave from this place, Lord, let us never leave your presence. Go with us, oh God, for through the evening, through the day tomorrow, and throughout the weekend. In the mighty name of Jesus, help to stir our faith, to grow our faith, amen, that you might take us higher. Oh, God, we thank you, oh, God, for what you're doing in our lives, and we believe that the blessing is still yet to come. Have your way. In the mighty name of Jesus, now may the peace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Ghost, may it rest, may it rule, may it abide in our hearts, henceforth now and forever, until we all share together. And all God's people said, amen.
And before you play that final piece, keep us in prayer. Next Tuesday, we leave for South Africa. It's a first for the both of us. So we don't know what to expect, but we do expect God. End of story. Now, also, for those of you that may not know, our dear friend, Dr. Walter Teague, is coming down to share with us in our church. This coming Sunday, you can find us on any social media page. Just come and look for Power to Stand. You got to hear a word from this great man of God. I promise you, you will not be the same in Jesus' name. I regress. The blessing has been placed upon you. The Dr. Kimmy Robinson, the ball is in your court.
You've been listening to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, then please consider sowing into this ministry. A $20 gift or more would be appreciated. You can do so through Cash App. Just use $ power to stand or on PayPal, preacher719@gmail.com. On behalf of Bishop Richard and the Open Mic panel, I'm Nina Taylor saying have a blessed week. We'll see you soon.